Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture say, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together as we come to lift up his mighty name and to give him the praise, glory, and honor that's due unto his wonderful name. On today, I would like to welcome you just to come right on in and make yourself right at home. As you grab your Bible, we have another wonderful lesson on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be blessed on today. The scripture is going to be coming from Mark chapter number 9, verses 119 and 1, and then also we're going to look at verse 19, and then we're going to look through verses 23 through 29. So that's going to be actually Mark chapter 9, verses 17 through verses 19, and then also verses 23 down to verse 29. And our thought on today that we'll be teaching from is going to be the power of faith. And so let's take a look at the word of the Lord. Father, we bind the forces of darkness and we come against every attack against the people of God, and we plead your blood and we take authority right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost. Let your will be done and your way will be accomplished in the mighty name of Jesus. On today, let's look at the word of the Lord. It says, Mark chapter number 9, verses 17 through verse number 19. It said, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which have a dumb spirit, and whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pinneth away. And I spake to thy disciple that they would cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And bring him unto me." Now, verse number 23 to verse 29, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thy my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit crieth and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came into the house, his disciples said privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Now, the child of God's life is filled with mountain peaks as well as valley, which we know that as we go through various things in and through our life. Many of the same difficulty that confront unbelievers also really confronts the child of God as well. The difference is, however, is that the power of faith that resides in the life of the child of God, and that power of faith equips the child of God to maneuver and to withstand even all of the testing and the trials that will come against them, and how and blesses them to also to successfully to maneuver through all of the obstacles of life, climbing even over every mountain with the assurance and the descending down into every valley with the strong song of victory. God is able to bless his people. Now, the disciples moved from glory of heaven at the Mount of Transfiguration to the inability to control demons. Somewhere between the mountain and the plain, the disciple misplaced the great faith that they had received. And what a contrast between their view from the top of the mountain, where the beauty of the high vision were imminent, and the bottom of the mountain, where they found the tragic need and suffering of the humanity. And so, such as it is, even with the child of God, we must never misplace our faith, keeping our faith in the blessed word of God, the blood of Jesus that was shed even over 2,000 years ago, and the ability and the authority that is in and through the mighty name of Jesus. There is power keeping your faith anchored in the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and in the blessed word of God. Now, the tragedy is made more prominent by the fact that those disciples did not make the necessary connection between the vision and the need. And so that's key, of making a connection with the vision as well as with the need that you may find in your life. Yes, God's giving vision, but also sometimes there are needs also in the life of the individual. Recognizing that same faith that allow you to see the vision will be the same faith that also make the provision and take you through and to the provision that is needed for that hour and that day. Now, we must recognize that God gave the vision on the mountaintop for these disciples so that they might descend to the bottom of the mountain in power to believe God for miracles. And such as it is, we must, in the face of every adversity, we must continue to believe God for the miracle. Problems and challenges to faith often come to an end of great spiritual experience. If a person is not careful, they may misplace or set aside their very faith that God imparted to them in a spiritual mountaintop place. The ascension to the top of the mountain and seeing of the heavenly vision prepares us to descend with power to face every human need. And so rest assured that power that you have received, even in that high service, or even when you've seen the vision, or when you had the dream or the divine visitation from the Lord, that same power is going to be transferred over into the vicissitudes of your life as you operate in that same like power of your faith. God gave me a word even on this morning, and I thought it was just so profound. And that word was, if you stay away from truth, you'll never know truth. If you hear truth, then you'll be able to know truth. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we keep ourselves from the house of God and from where the preaching of the word of God is, how can it build the faith? How can it expand one's faith? It's key to stay in the place where you are able to be fed by the word of God, that your soul may be fed and your spirit may be fed, so that when you descend from the mountaintop, after you receive the vision, the dream, the purpose, or even a divine visitation and word from the Lord, you're able to operate when you are facing the vicissitudes of life and recognizing that that same experience that you had in the Lord is connected to even that challenge that you're dealing with even on today. No weapon, the word still declare, no weapon that is formed against you is going to ever prosper, that God will supply all of your needs, that he will bless her with provision. And that's what the scripture said, I will abundantly bless her provision, and I will satisfy her poor with bread. That's Psalms 132 and verse 15. Also, he said that it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. So in the midst of your circumstances and situation, you shall see the glory of the Lord. in the midst of it. I don't care how hard it gets, no matter how difficult it may seem, glory, God's glory is going to be revealed in your life and in your situation. And so I want you rest assured to know that he will and he shall do it. And so when we begin to say, look further, we recognize a person is not, if a person is not careful, they may misplace or set aside their very faith that God imparted to them in their spiritual mountaintop. The ascension to the mountaintop and seeing of the heavenly vision also prepares us for every human need. The blessing received on that place prepares us for the battles on the plains and in the valley. In these times, the power of faith is supremely important to every child of God. Now, let's take a look here. The appeal that failed. How sad this father must have felt when he brought his sons to the disciples of Jesus that could be healed, only to have his hopes dashed by their inability to exercise faith for their healing. Now, first of all, let's look at the suffering child. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. Luke mentioned this was the son's his only son, and he had come hoping for the healing of his son, but when he arrived, the disciple was unable to facilitate the necessary healing, and believers approached the church looking for a healing help and direction. We must know that God, who sends them our way, will empower us to help them. Now, the same God that sends people to for you to witness is going to be the same God that's going to empower you to be able to help them or be able to share a word with them. Now, Matthew 10:1 said, and when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Mark 6:7 said, and he called unto him and the 12, and he began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, some people believe that this young boy was suffering from epilepsy. The Greek referred to this illness as being moonstruck. They believe that certain illness were related to the position of the moon. Now, according to the scripture, however, the real reason for this boy's condition was that a demon spirit inhabited his body. At a time, this spirit would throw the boy to the ground and send him into a violent convulsion that caused him to foam at the mouth and scream loudly. Now, the word pinned away described the progress of dying and withering grass. And the writer was describing the process that Satan and sin had upon this individual. And this condition would not stop if it was not certainly result in death. If it had not stopped. Now, Satan's design and desire was to destroy this young man, his father, and the faith of Christ's disciple. How awful this sight must have been to all who was watching. Now, let's look at the powerless disciples. I spake to thy disciple that they should cast him out, and they could not. The scrumble word of this man was in it was penetrating to the very heart of every one of the true believers of God. Now, Jesus had given his disciples authority over sicknesses and disease, but it seemed that their power was gone or have become inactive. Now, this is key for the child of God, that same self-power that was delivered unto the church. It must remain active in your life unless the adversary tries to render you powerless and inactive in the power and the faith that God has delivered unto the church. And so we must continue to exercise that authority and the power over unclean things, over sin, over diseases, over sicknesses that God has delivered through his son, Jesus Christ, unto the church of God. Now, they should have been able to set this boy free. The need was waiting to be met, but the power to meet the need was not there. It was absent. And so, you know, we can speak and we can share the word, but we want to make sure that not only speaking and sharing the word, but the power of the Holy Ghost, that dunamis power, is active even in your life and moving and flowing in and through our lives as men and women of God, that God will flow greatly and profoundly and profusely in through our lives, and that it would exude out of our lives. That means staying prayed up. That means staying before the Lord our God. That means believing God in spite of what we're seeing and in spite of what we're hearing, trusting the word of God, and that God is able to deliver on the word that was spoken in and through your mouth, and then he is able to do all things but fail. But we have to supply him with our faith to believe that that same resurrection power that he used over 2,000 years ago to be raised from the dead will still exude in and through your life. All you need to do is continue to trust and believe and stay in your word. Stay on your face. Stay in the presence of the Lord our God and watch him do it in and through our life. Now, the need of humanity laid at the foot of the child of God today, where people wait for help, hope, and healing. God has given his church this awesome task of touching the world through the power of faith. People bring us to us their affliction because they have heard that we are the disciple of the great physician. We have the power and the authority to help. We must not fail them or even our Savior. Now, I want to share a testimony that is so profound. Even on the other night when I was at church preaching, I experienced like a deep pain that hit my right side of my hip that emanated all the way down onto my foot. And I'm kind of like, while I'm preaching and teaching, I'm in communion with God. God, what is this going on in my body? Because I've never experienced that type of excruciating pain before. And so while I was preaching and before I closed out the service, that pain was still there in that leg. And God spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to pray for someone who is in that pain. He said he allowed that pain to come upon my body because there was someone in the congregation who was there in excruciating pain. We called an altar call and things. I called the altar call. We had several people to come up that was experiencing that pain. And so as I began to pray for them, the more I began to pray for each one, the pain began to leave my body. And the testimony was that there was someone there, several people there, who was sitting in pain, excruciating pain. And so God allowed my faith, trusting him, believing him, using that faith to trust and believe him, to pray for those that was in that being afflicted by the spirit of infirmity. And God literally lifted that pain off of their body. And even when I left the service, the pain was no longer in my body. And so sometimes God moves in that profound way, using our faith, using the power of God. That thing's not so much to overthrow you, but it may be have come upon you to let you know that somebody else is going on in a situation like that, and God allowing you to bear their burden so that you are able to ascend to heaven to share and to talk and to pray because you have favor with God. Use your favor to even to cause deliverance and to help people out of circumstances and situation, and watch God use you in a greater and a profound way because the favor that is upon your life, you use your favor to bless somebody else and then let somebody else get delivered because you exercise your faith and your favor on behalf of somebody else and watch God. Oh, shayado bosha. I feel the power of God right there. Watch God do it. Watch God moved by his power divine and in and through your life. And so Jesus, he had to intervene in this particular young man's life. And so the word of the Lord, Jesus was stern and cutting and almost angry towards even his disciples, because the disciples of the Lord had to bear two reproaches, The first reproach was imposed upon them because the father's disappointment in their ability to set the son free. Secondly, the second reproach of the Lord was as he rebuked them with words that revealed his disappointment and irritation at their lack of faith and lack of power. Jesus was disappointed with them because they could have grown and matured more from their time with him. Now, God is expecting us to move forward and to go on to maturity and not get stuck in circumstances and situation that's coming up against us. He wants us to move forward into the things of God as opposed to become paralyzed by what you've seen and what you're feeling. It's not you going to do the deliverance, but God's going to use your hands as a point of contact for someone to get delivered. Oh, child of God, and as you use your faith, as you give your hands to God or give your tongue to him to let him speak the word through you, God is going to do it. Now, so Jesus was so disappointed with them because they had grown, should have grown and matured, but they didn't. This progress lagged behind his expectation. God is expecting something from you. He is expecting you to move to the next level. He is expecting you to exercise your faith and the power that was delivered unto the church, the faith that was delivered unto the church. He wants you to use that faith, amen, and things, and trust and believe. Now, the lesson has taught them, and the power that he has shown them should have prepared them to minister to the poor man's son. He had told them, freely ye have received, freely give, over in Matthew 10 and 8. But in his disappointment, Jesus now asked, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Matthew 17 and verse number 17. In our walk with God, we must recognize that in every aspect of our life, he's always preparing us for the future, what is to come, what will happen, what door he's going to open, or what thing will come our way. We're going to use that faith. Now, let's look further. The cry for compassion. Clearly, the father had reached a level of hopelessness. The scripture declared that his hideous demon spirit had possessed his son since he was a child. The boy endured terrible bondage as the spirit would cast him into the fire and then into the water, seeking to destroy him. People seldom understand the far-fetching effects of the bondage of sin until it submits its finishing product. James 1 and verse number 15. After the disciple failed to cast out the evil spirit, the father cried unto the master for compassion on his son. If thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, God's power, we must recognize, is available. Jesus turned to this man's word back to him, and it was not a question of whether he could. The question was whether the father would believe that he could do the work. Now, Jesus attached the miracle that was sought to the power of faith. And so let's take a look at that, that the miracle you need is attached to the power of your faith, you faith believing that he is and that he can and that he will. Faith activates the working of the power of God within a person. God delivers the promise in the package of faith. Moreover, we can only receive the gift he gives through the power of faith. Hebrews 11 defines the importance of active faith in the life of the believer. When faith is activated, it accomplishes many things. Now, let's look at some of the things that faith will accomplish. Faith attained a good report. You'll find that over in verse Hebrews 11, verse number 2. Faith perceived God's divine design. You'll find that in verse 3 of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Faith present a more excellent sacrifice, verse 4. Faith propels us from the temporal to the eternal, verse 5. Faith act on the promises of God. Verses number 8 through verse number 22. And faith overcome tremendous odds. And you'll see that over Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. And so without faith, we recognize it is impossible to believe him. Hebrews 11:6. It said, many times the only thing that stands between the promises given and the power received is the absence of faith. We have to keep that faith in the front. The Bible said the just shall live by their faith. Faith believing that he will, that he is going to, that he's able to, no matter what the condition may be. Speak your faith. Release your faith. But God is able. But God will do it. But God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will do it. Lord, I believe. It's the next thing that we want to look at. It says straightway, the father of the child cried out with tears, Lord, I believe, help by my unbelief. The troubled man made an urgent declaration and request. Mark, the gospel writer revealed the tremendous emotion that was attached to this man's petition. He cried out with tears. This man had come to the end of himself and was ready to confess his faith and admit his doubt by asking for help to believe. He brought to Jesus all that he had and was willing to confess his shortcoming. These two attitudes became the platform for the Lord to work a miracle on the man's behalf. It is noteworthy that he tried neither to hide his lack of faith nor to exaggerate his faith, making it appear more than what it was. He realized that God, who gave him the little faith he had, was able to erase the doubt which he was wrestling with. Now, we must trust God to erase all of the doubt that sometimes we wrestle with and trust him. When men and women come to God with this realization, it captures the attention of the masters. Now, let's look further. Jesus took charge. Now, Jesus demonstrated that his primary concern was not what the people thought, but what the need of the afflicted individual. He wasted no time in commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the boy. He charged the spirit that had caused the boy to mute and deaf, conditioned to come out of him and enter no more. We recognize when he took that control, Jesus' command was actually twofold. He commanded the evil spirit to depart. Jesus spoke to the spirit like a person would order an intruder out of his house. Second, he charged the demon never to enter the boy again. And this is vital, for it is only shows the power of the Lord to save and deliver, also the power of the Lord to keep and to protect as well. Now, when Jesus commanded the spirit to leave, the spirit cried out, causing severe convulsion that sent the boy tumbling to the ground. When the process of deliverance finally ended, the boy was left laying on the ground so still that many thought he was dead. And it's interesting to note that when the Lord dealt with the demon that inhabited the body of the boy, he did not lay hands upon them, the boy, but only spake the command. And so sometimes we just need to speak the command and watch God do the rest of performing. After the boy was delivered and laid hands on the ground, Jesus then tenderly stretched out his hand to lift him up, and he arose. Now, let's look at another aspect, the restorer of faith, the fruit of failure. A person can trace the reason for failure in his faith to the spiritual habits. Just as a healthy diet lends itself to the well-being of one's body, so a healthy diet of spiritual things will increase the level of a person's faith. There has never been a power shortage in God, only a shortage of faith in some to believe him for the power. The words a person speaks either increases his faith or decreases it. When we are careless with our speech, it shows in our faith. So watch the things that you speak. Speak your faith. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Now let's look at another aspect, another Christian discipline, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting also help to cultivate a powerful faith. And it says when disciples inquired of the Lord as to the reason why that they could not cast off the demon, he replied, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Prayer and fasting becomes the seedbed of faith to grow. Now, a seedbed is like where you're planting something, where it has been cultivated out and prepared to receive the seed to plant flowers or to plant vegetable. It becomes a bed in which the seed is planted in. And such as it is even with our life, we must become a bed in which we can allow our faith to cultivate. Our life, our mind and our spirit must be a place where that seed of faith can be cultivated ongoing. And so we must recognize that that's what has happened when we praying, when we fasting, it's cultivating our spirit to receive and allow our faith to grow even greater. Neglecting these actions stifles a faith and creating a power shortage. The more a person prays and gives themselves to fasting, the word of God, and to the word of God, the stronger their faith grow. Fasting, prayer, and the reading of God's word prepares a person to meet faith opportunities. Just as exercise strengthening the body, the physical body, to meet the demand of the life, the spiritual exercises of daily prayer, reading the word of God, the regular fasting, it strengthens the inner man to say, "Lord, I believe." Now, we must recognize that faith put things in God's hand. So the power of faith recognizes that what is impossible in a person's hands become possible in the hands of God. The power of faith recognizes that 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the hand may feed a few, but in the hand of God, they feed the multitude. So faith recognizes our limitation as well and releases us to walk into the limitless resources of God. And we must recognize it's God that's going to do this thing. It's God that's going to work it out. But the key is to take your faith and take that situation and put it over into God's hand, as opposed to be paralyzed and wondering how you're going to work it out, how you're going to fix it, how it's going to come to pass. First of all, give it to God first and trust him to give you wisdom as to what to do next or guide you. He said, "I will lead you and guide you into all truth." If you acknowledge in him first, he will lead and guide you. And so the key element is to allow him to lead, guide, and direct you into the places where God will want you to be and for him to bring the deliverance that need to be in your children's life, even in your children's children, or even in your family member's life. Give it over to Jesus. Trust him. God, work it out. Set angels over, warring angels, guarding angels, ministering angels to go in their direction. Lord, you said in your word, one will plant, another will water. But, Lord, you said you'll bring the increase. Thank you for the increase, God. That's speaking my faith, trusting God, that and doing whatever I can do too as well. And things as God is sharing, being loving, being reaching out and things, cultivating, ministering there too. And trusting God that God will do what he said he will do. Now, his life, Jesus demonstrated the benefit of prayer and fasting. Moreover, the early church clearly demonstrated the same benefit and power. Jesus came out from the wilderness of the power of the Spirit after 40 days of prayer and fasting, Luke 4:14. The early church saw 3,120 souls receive the Holy Ghost after a 7-day period of prayer and fasting. They went on to be recognized as the people who turned the world upside down, Acts 17:16. Fasting and calling on the name of the Lord. Our world must have a church committed to spiritual discipline. We can only reach those who are hurting or in need of deliverance by utilizing the tools of the Spirit that are available to us. As we apply these tools of prayer and fasting and the Word of God, our faith is elevated to a level of the need of in this world. We can stand with great assurance through the power of faith that with God, truly, all things are truly possible. And we must trust and believe that. There is no power shortage in God. All we have to do is turn back unto God through prayer, fasting, reading the word, and God will bless and strengthen our inward man, and he will also erase all of the doubt that we may have in our hearts and our mind because we've chosen to get before him and call on his mighty name. Now, there is a great lesson, that a warning for us in this story of the man who brought his son to the disciple that had he might receive deliverance. A demon-possessed boy and caused him to be deaf and mute and self-destructive. Sadly, the disciple could not help the child. Perhaps this story would be without a positive ending if it had not been for the desperation of the boy's father. He was unwilling to write off his son's chance for healing just because the disciple was powerless. So he took the boy to Jesus, and with great compassion, Jesus delivered the boy from the bondage of Satan. But first, Jesus rebuked his disciple and taught them of the necessary of prayer and fasting. And we can only hope to break spiritual chains of bondage through the greater spiritual power which is in and through the Lord and Jesus Christ, and that it can and it shall be broken. There is no question but what the power of Christ is greater than that of demons, that we can exercise his great power only through the disciplined vessels filled with faith and the Holy Ghost and power of God. We can tap into the power of faith through the power of prayer, fasting, and reading the word and the preached word, preaching of the scripture. Through these spiritual disciplines, we will keep strongly connected to the power source of heaven. We will see our faith grow and the power of God working mightily in those with great human needs because we dare to put our trust and our confidence in the mighty and the matchless name of Jesus. He's still able to do exceedingly abundantly that we ask or even think according to the power that worketh within you. And so, child of God, I come and tell you on today, cultivate that power. Get back into the house of the Lord. Get back to the place where you can be fed back in your spirit so your faith can be built back up and that you can be the man and the woman of God that God is calling you to be, to do great acts for. The Bible said that the people that know their God will be strong and do exploit. And so we as the people of God, we're here to lift up that mighty name, but to recognize you are a man or a woman of God of power. Trust the Lord your God that he is able to do all things but fail. All you need to do is say, God, strengthen my faith, raise up my faith as you pray and fast. Fast out that doubt. Fast and pray out that doubt out of your spirit and trust the power, the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's willing and he's waiting to do it. All he wants to know, will you, yes, you, will you believe him and not doubt him? So it is my prayer that your faith will fail you not. It is my prayer that you will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and that you will go on to do great and mighty exploits in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Watch him work it out on your behalf because he loves you just that much. Gracious Father, we come hasten unto your word right now and to your throne, and we say thank you on this day for this glorious opportunity, Lord, to teach your word and the power of faith. We ask, oh God, that you will bless our hearers on today, that their faith will always be in you and your blessed word and your power and your anointing and your precious blood and your wonderful name. Father, we thank you because you are that righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and you have all power in your hand, and you can do, God, all things but fail. And we trust you that you will do it again in and through the life of your people. Father, whatever they need, we ask that you grant it. Help us, our unbelief, Father, that we can go on to the next level and be the men and the women of God that you called us out to be. And, Father, we cast everything, all of our cares upon you because you do care for us. And we thank you and we bind the forces of darkness and even the emissaries of the adversary and say, thy will be done, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Truly, this has been a wonderful time of being with you on today. Remember, as I always say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. My prayer is a no sorrow prayer. Blessing will come to your household on today. So until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.